This morning's first reading is from Exodus. The Israelites had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Word of God, word of life. This morning's second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Word of God, word of life. Now please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Then Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like the sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not take a road leading to Gentiles, and do not enter a Samaritan town, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with a skin disease, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." The gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. The harvest is great and the workers are few. Jesus went, Jesus taught, and Jesus healed. Where did Jesus go? He went to all the cities and villages. And who did Jesus teach? Jesus proclaimed the good news to first the disciples and then to crowds of people. And who and what did Jesus heal? People who were harassed and helpless, people who were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus healed every disease and sickness. Why? Why did Jesus do all of this? Because when he saw the crowds, Jesus had compassion. Jesus also says, the harvest is great. This means that there are so many people that are in need of this compassion. There are so many people without a shepherd, without direction, people being harassed and helpless in our world today, diseased and sick, isolated, alone, and very few workers to send out to people. Our church congregation and our community in Omaha, in Nebraska, in our nation, people without direction, without leadership, being harassed, helpless, diseased, sick, the same. And very few people, you know, every church knows, there's that core set of people who do a lot of work, right? But Jesus sees this crowd and has compassion. So what is compassion? Can it be identified, understood? I recently came across Brené Brown's definition of compassion in her book, Braving the Wilderness. She explains that building compassion within oneself begins with setting boundaries, being very clear with what is okay and what is not okay. I read this text and I thought the same thing. Jesus is very clear with what is okay and what is not okay. Jesus is intentional to empower the harassed and helpless through showing up, teaching, and healing. And because the crowds are so many, Jesus instructs his disciples to do the same. And as Jesus' followers, we're called to do the same. So, how can we grow compassion within us? Well, first of all, know what you believe and practice what you believe. And that's a boundary. It's a Christian boundary. Know what you believe, practice what you believe. Exactly what Jesus did. Being very clear with what is okay and what is not okay. In the media and in social situations, there is mass dehumanization happening in our world today. There is major concern today in our communities, in our Christian communities, in our schools, on social media, in our families. Christian communities who are called to love one another are practicing dehumanizing behaviors. And because of it, people get hurt. It goes against our very core beliefs, the core beliefs that Jesus commissioned to us to love one another. Jesus loves without end. In everyday conversations and in social media groups, political leaders, family, friends, groups actually encourage this behavior. And dehumanizing is a strong word, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you, it's so simple in our language. It's so simple to call somebody a dog. That is dehumanizing. It's so simple to call somebody a pig. that is so dehumanizing. It's a slow process, this dehumanizing, and I'm bringing it to your attention today because it creeps up on you. It infiltrates your very soul, and you don't even know that it happens. Describing somebody who is non-binary or as being non-human, describing indigenous people as savages, our textbooks have said that for years. Describing previously incarcerated people as ex-felons, it's not okay. All of these are examples of language that are being used to dehumanize other people. So any type of othering that you can think of, you can fill in that blank, any type of othering is the practice of dehumanizing somebody. And when someone has been dehumanized, it becomes in our psyche okay to hurt them. Right? This practice of dehumanizing leads to a loss of human rights. And genocide. It has been used throughout history. To kill mass groups of people. And it starts with calling somebody a dog. It actually starts with calling somebody a pig or a savage. So I want to be very clear about what Jesus' mission is here and this commission that he calls his disciples to, all people, to be present, show up, right? You show up. Then you teach. You practice what you teach. You heal. That is the healing. When you practice what you preach, what you teach, it is self-healing, and it heals everyone around you because they begin that boundary also. So being clear about Christian values and boundaries are the boundaries that Christ set for us. Being compassionate. Brené Brown says, quote, "You do what you say and you say what you do," end quote. So I want you to be encouraged to follow Jesus into that crowd. Be empowered to uphold, rehumanize in conversations on social media, in family conversations. If someone calls someone a pig, say, "We don't use dehumanizing language here." Call it out and set that boundary. It reminds you and it reminds the people around you what's okay and what's not okay. Be true to your boundaries and be accountable to yourself and follow Christ. Be a laborer in God's vineyard. Do what you say and say what you do, honoring every person. I want to end today with recognizing that tomorrow is Juneteenth. And I'm going to read this poem that is from the book called Spilling the Light by Teresa Soto. "I cannot prove to you that I am a person, but you can hold my hand cold and dry while we pray, or just breathe ragged breaths catching on our aching ribs. I cannot prove to you that brown skin is holy, that black skin is sacred, but you can know it, luminous and irrepressible, the tabernacle of your own liberation. I cannot even prove to you that every queer body, every trans body and NB body, every ace and bisexual body sings back to the universe its immense generative power of yes. And I cannot prove to you with quadratic certainty that what a disabled body holds is a story of wisdom beyond perfection, like a red sun emerging from behind a cloud of dust. So the answers that I have for a country hacking up a death rattle and a democracy with a wheezing, waxy pallor are about our courage to love, our desperation not only for survival, but also to tread above the worst of our collective nature and to get each other free. Unashamed that there came a day when we were willing to risk looking foolish to simply stay together and alive. I cannot prove to you that I am, that we are human. Amen.